If you have your Bibles open, I want to read now, starting at the 18th verse of chapter 4 of Romans. The context here simply is this. Paul is using Abram as an illustration for us of a man of faith. The text I want to leave with you this morning is verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. We've been thinking about examples of faith the last couple of weeks. We've thought about Elijah, a man of faith in prayer, a man who, against all human odds, believed God and prayed on and prayed through. The last night of our week of prayer, I challenged the folks about Caleb, a man who wholly followed the Lord, a man who persevered in faith. Persevering in faith. We thought about Abel, a man who trusted in God and is noted as a man who put faith into action. And today, we are thinking about Abraham, a man strong in faith. And how so? What was the circumstance? Well, his whole life is marked that way. It's interesting that in Hebrews 11, the chapter of faith, he really encompasses a large section of that chapter. Because his life exhibits for us in many different areas how we can see him working through God and God working through him. The Lord promised to him a child, but it was now past time for that. And yet here this man comes to us as an example of one who lived and walked and breathed in the air of heaven. Chapter 4, verse 18. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence now, I pray we'll be very much aware of thy nearness in this service. Dear God, take away every distraction. Take away everything that would hinder us from hearing, taking in, putting into practice this word in our own life. Dear God, help me this morning to speak as thy messenger, thy servant in the Word of God. Help us to see clearly the lessons set out in the Word of truth for our lives. Dear God, increase, strengthen, and bless us in every way in our Christian walk. Dear Lord, help the dear people here today to listen to the Word. Give them grace to understand and put into practice, as we all need to, the Word of God this morning. Lord, there are some folks here who are not saved, some listening over the internet without Christ. Let this day be a day of salvation for them. Let them come to trust in the Lord with all their heart. Hear our prayers now today, for we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Abraham staggered not, a man of faith, a man of great example for us in our own time. Here, friends, we are confronted with this story, this account. The context goes back to Genesis, and really the beginning of it is the Lord giving a word to His servant that He would be the father of many nations. He, through him and through his genealogy, would come the Messiah, Christ, and all nations of the world would be blessed as a result of what God was doing through this man. He was a humble man. He was a nothing man. There was nothing righteous or good in Abram himself. He was taken out of Ur of the Chaldees. He was taken from a heathen country, a country where his forefathers bowed down before stones and rocks and sticks. They were superstitious. They didn't believe in the God of heaven. They believed in a superstitious being. And so here this man, God rescued him. God chose him. The Lord called him out. And it wasn't because of anything that Abram had done himself. There was no good in him. But the Lord set his love upon this man and called him out for a great purpose. And when he began to fulfill his purpose and show him more clearly what he was going to do, the messengers came that one day along with the Lord, and they said, "Abram, you're going to have a son." And Sarah was listening in the back, and she laughed about that. Sarah laughed because she had good reason to laugh, actually. The angels questioned her and then said to Abram and to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is impossible with God." And of course, the context of Sarah laughing, she realized that she was now old and past the age of childbearing. And she was 90 years old. Abram himself was near 100. And yet the promise that God had given to him was still living, still active, still very much in the very mind of God's servant. Now Paul tells us in the New Testament, the book of Galatians, that now to Abraham and to his seed were promises made. And he said, "Not and to seeds, which are many, but unto one, to thy seed." And Paul says, "Which is Christ." Here's the marvel of all this. That promise that was made to God's servant, that promise was clearly the fulfilling of the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, to bear away the sin of the world. And the Lord set aside this one man, this sinner. And the Lord was going to work through him. And the promise that God gave to his servant so many years ago, that he was going to redeem a people unto himself. You know, it is certain that Sarah had long given up the idea that having a son that was to be promised, because she knew that promise given to Abram as well, she had long given up the possibility of childbearing. It was now in her mind impossible. And in so much thinking that way, she thought, "Well, I'll take things into my own hands." She gave Hagar, handmaiden, to him. And that was a step of sight and not of faith. That was a step of taking things into my own hands and doing what she did. And the outcome of this, we know, was not in the direct line in which God had purpose for the coming Messiah. It is therefore not surprising to us that Sarah laughed when she heard the declaration of that visitor, and she laughed silently to herself, and yet the Lord knew the thoughts of the heart and confronted Abraham with her doubtful response. You know, the Lord sees and knows and hears all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. He knows it even afar off. Let us be careful. And the follow-up of that, unfortunately, was that Sarah ended up lying as well because she denied that she doubted. So often we're caught in a similar situation at times where we're faced head-on with our unbelief, our doubting, and then we deny that we doubted. We're all guilty of that in some form or another. The old nature is not too far away from us, just below the surface. Have you ever been caught out with someone challenging you right off? Did you do that? And you know right well you did it, but you deny you did it. Because, well, the old nature is sometimes just so much in control of things in our lives. And we need to say, Lord, let us die unto ourself and live unto righteousness, and that we will not be diverted from the great cause of walking in honesty and humility. We know that Sarah comes to us in Hebrews 11 as a woman of faith. Strangely enough, we're told there that she was able to have this child of the promise through faith. So Sarah doubted initially, yes. But the Lord helped her. And she did come to believe that, yes, God is going to fulfill His promise. We sometimes ourselves go through times of weakness, fainting fits, we might call it, where God's promise is there, we see it, we know it, we fail to take it, and we doubt. But yet faith is strengthened, and we come to the point where we see and take God at His word, and we're able to follow on, and the Lord brings to us even the times of the, well, restoring the years the locusts have eaten. Abraham himself, though, even at the time when Sarah was uncertain and wavering, we are told that Abraham did not waver. He did not come with uncertainty to God. And so I want to point out to you, first of all, that Abraham here, as this example of a man who is strong in faith, simple faith was the first place where we begin with this man. He was a man that showed us that real strong faith is simple faith. If you do not believe in God or that He is all-powerful, you know, it does not change the reality. Just because men deny His existence or we deny a certain truth that is there, you might deny the truth of the law of gravity. You can deny it all you like. But just go and jump off the top of a building, and you'll see that whether or not you believe it, it doesn't really matter. You're going down to the bottom. You see, friend, men deny the existence of God. They deny the reality that there is a supreme being. The Lord says in His word that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is very possible for us as human beings to deny reality and actually believe that in our denial we are speaking the truth. It doesn't really matter whether we deny it. The truth remains certain. You know that the Bible does not actually attempt to prove the existence of God. It simply declares that He is. And the person that comes to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is how we understand that the very worlds were created by the Word of God. Do you believe today, friend? Are you a man, a woman of faith? Sometimes people have kind of a generic understanding of that phrase and they say, well, yes, actually I am a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. I do believe in something. But that's not really the point either, is it? Because if you believe in something but you don't believe in the right thing according to the Scripture, then you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. You're going to be looking in the wrong direction. And we are brought back again to the Scriptures, the Word of God. Sometimes people who, for the most part, deny the Lord's existence by the way they live their life, going through many activities and operations and living life and enjoying things, and they don't really acknowledge God at all, except when something bad happens. Except when something serious occurs in the life. And then, well, Then they begin to pray. Maybe then begin to call out to the Lord. Help me, Lord, help me, I'm in trouble. But where were their prayers the other 9/10 of the time in their life? You see, that's not a man of faith. That's not a person of prayer. That's a prayer or a faith of convenience. But it's not living, walking, breathing. As Abraham did when he received God's truth, he took it to his heart. He believed in God, and he walked by that. And if we are going to come under the umbrella of God's truth and His omnipotence and His power and His ability, His sovereign purpose is to accomplish all that He pleases, then it must be that step in simple faith. Take the Lord at His word, and when we believe His promise, the chapters in the context here are all about the seed of Abraham, which is Christ. And unless you have, my friend, today, a living, a personal, a real relationship with the seed, which is Christ, then, my friend, you haven't got to the starting line yet. And I say to you today, lovingly and earnestly, with all the urgency that I can present to you in the Word of God, it is time to flee to Christ. It is time to receive Him as your own, because you don't know how much time you have left. The days click by, the minutes of your day click by, and events happen, they come and go, some more serious, some less serious. We don't know what a day may bring to us. And therefore I say to you, with that urgency of the Word of God, flee unto Christ today. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, and as you come and rest under His cleansing blood, His atoning and redemptive work on the cross, when we do that in simple faith, call out to the Lord, He will hear our prayer. Now perhaps you feel this morning, as you're a Christian, your faith is very weak. Then you need to pray something. Pray, Lord, as the disciples did, please increase my faith. And yet remember that strong confidence does not produce faith, but faith produces strong confidence. And I mean by that, you can't just grit your teeth and say, oh, I'm going to believe now harder in God, and therefore I will increase my faith. No, friend, you come in simple faith. And as you trust in the Word of God and you rest upon Him, then you will have built up in your own soul that strong confidence to say, as one dear lady said on Friday night in our testimony time of the week of prayer, I have learned, as Job learned, to say this, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And all that happened to that man of God, and all that he went through, he could say at the end of it all, my life is in the hand of my God. And if He decides, if He deigns, if He purposes that by my life I will glorify Him by taking my life away, then so be it. I will not deny Him even in my death. I'll not deny Him though He takes my life from me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three friends of Daniel that were going into the fiery furnace. What examples of faith these young men are to us. These were young men of conviction. These were young men of heart. Put yourself in their position for a moment in your mind and think you are ready to be ushered into what would appear on all surfaces to be instant death. In that furnace. And yet they stood before Nebuchadnezzar, the king then that had power unquestioned in all the earth. And they stood before him and they said to him, if so be that our God whom we serve, He is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, you hear those words? But if not. In other words, if God decides that our life would be better served, taken away and burned up in that oven, then we are willing and prepared, and we will go and we will die. But know this, O King, we will not bow down to your image. We will not compromise our faith, our spirit. We will not give in. Is that the faith, friend, that you have this morning? Is that the simple faith in God's holy word and promise? These men, they had simple faith. And their simple faith was strong, as Abram's was, in God's eternal promise. There's something else, and secondly, I want you to notice from our text about Abraham and his simple faith, it was that he staggered not. His strong faith was demonstrated faith. He did waver. The word stagger is interesting. It's actually, it only translated this here in this one place in the New Testament. Staggered. It does appear several times in the New Testament in its Greek form, and it comes to us in different ways. In one part in Matthew, where the Lord Jesus said this, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not. That word doubt is the word stagger. So if you have faith and you stagger not. The word stagger, this word used here, it means that I will not hesitate. I will not withdraw from. I will not waver. I will not oppose. You see, that's what real trust in God's word is, and obedience to Him and submission to Him and His word. I will not withdraw from it. I will not waver. And so Jesus uses the word here, and James also uses it in his letter. He says, But let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed. The word waver is the word stagger. So James is saying, ask the Lord what you have need of in faith, and don't deny it. Don't withdraw from it. Don't stagger upon your understanding, your belief in God, because as you trust in Him, you honor Him. As you trust in Him, you will receive the request and the desire you have of Him, because you base your prayer upon His promise, upon His word, upon the merit of Jesus Christ alone. Because when we come to the Lord, we come asking everything that we can only through His merit, and only on the ground that He has made and set for us. God's power transcends the laws of nature. In the natural order of things, that's how the Lord usually operates. And He uses these as a means to an end. So He will sometimes cause it to be a stormy day. And if He causes it to be a stormy, windy day and it's bad weather, well, maybe that hinders the operation of certain things. And God is moving by a thousand different ways of His providential turnings of nature and so on. So He usually operates through the laws of nature. But there are times when God superintends those laws by miracle. And the very fact of a miracle, which cannot be explained by the natural law and process, some people would say it's a violation of the law of nature, a miracle, which is true. And it could be explained if you knew the mind of God. But because we don't know, and we cannot see into the supernatural, we cannot explain it by physics, you can't explain it by biology, and you certainly can't explain it by the natural laws of sciences, because it is supernatural. And so God's purposes and miracles, they are cited in the Scripture, and they are to reveal in all their totality the redemptive work of the Lord. His redemptive purposes. That's the whole intention of God doing miracle. It's to verify the word of the prophet. It is so that a man will be seen to be sent by God to usher in perhaps a new period of scriptural history, or some word spoken from God through a man And the Lord says, you will do a miracle to verify that you are my spokesman. And that's how the Lord has operated. Not in every case does he do that, and certainly not in the cases since the closing of Scripture are we seeing the evidence of that, though God is still able and not at all restrained from that. And we sometimes see the Lord doing something in our life that, wow, that's miraculous. Well, we use the word a little bit loosely, but God is still able to superintend and overrule the natural issues of life, to do something in our own life. But you know, in the case of Sarah, biology had to submit itself to the voice of the Creator. It is most significant that Paul picks up on this truth. This was at the point of the strength of Abram's faith, because he looked at his own body now being dead. Of course, he wasn't a corpse. What did he mean by that? He meant that it was biologically impossible for him to father a child. And he went one step further and he looked at Sarah and he said, it is biologically impossible for her to bear a child. Her womb is dead. She's past the years of childbearing. You see, friend, when God gives a promise and every natural circumstance is against it, it is then that faith will receive that word from God. And when faith receives that word and you stagger not, you do not turn away from that, and you are resting upon God's everlasting purposes. And you know, we bring to the Lord our impossible situations, and we can come to Him with full confidence. And we can say, Lord, this is out of my control, it's out of my hands, and the Lord is able to deliver us. And yet we also must remember that we are submissive and we have to submit ourselves under His greater purposes for our good, my friends, for His glory. Here, the Lord looks at this man, His servant. He sees that he did not stagger. He walked with this purpose in his heart to trust in God no matter what. And if you see yourself wavering in this area, which sadly to say we all do, what do? We say, oh God, please come and increase my faith. Oh God, come and grip my soul. I need that grace that is not my own. I need that strength that is beyond me. And thirdly, Abraham's strong faith was seen in that it was fulfilled, the promise, against human reason. Matthew Henry, the commentator, said, the objections of sense are very apt to stumble and puzzle the weak faith, even of true believers. Interesting comment. The objections of sense are very apt to stumble and puzzle. And isn't that the truth? When we face the situation, we look and say, it's not going to happen. That person will never get saved. You pray for them. You think, that's going to be impossible. Look at their life. Look what they've done. Look where they've been. And then, friend, you need to stop for a moment and just think, take a look in the mirror and see what God has done in your life. And the very fact of the impossibility of you being saved, of this sinner coming to Christ, that should put the lie to it all, because we know that salvation is by grace. It is against human reason, and that's where we step in. It would appear that Sarah had given up hope for sure that she was ever going to have a child, but it was not so with Abram. For we're told in chapter 4 and verse 18 of Romans, it says, who against hope believed in hope. That's a lovely phrase. That's a powerful phrase, friend. And you take that to the Lord in prayer and you pray, oh God, give me that hope that is against hope. Because when everything around us would say, no, it's impossible, hope is gone, what do we hold on to? Why, friend, we hold on to the only thing we ever could hold on to and the only thing we ever can hold on to. It is hope in the Lord's unchanging, never failing, all-perfect word. Sarah is not to be overly criticized, because we know we've been in her place many times. Yet Abraham here is presented to us as a man who trusted the Lord, and it was against all human reason. You know, the Lord has given to us a reason, a human reason for a purpose, and He expects us to use it. But we all must realize that because we are sinful in our nature, that the very ability we have of reasoning is twisted, it's bent because of our human sinful nature. So therefore, we would submit ourselves, because human ability and reason, though it is to be used by God for a purpose, it must be subject to our unbelief or our belief in faith. It's at this very place that faith itself must be engaged in the promise of God, so that even when all else seems to be hopeless, we can have strong confidence to rest in the word of our God that will not fail, because the Lord stands to His word. Arthur Pink, in his commentary on the book of Genesis, he said this: His, God's promises may seem unreasonable and impossible to the carnal mind, but His word is sure. His word is certain, and let us trust in that. Friend, what do we have as our impossible circumstances, things that would question our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Abraham staggered not at the promise, even though they were insurmountable in their hopeful success. Little Sunday school chorus says, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. We have numerous examples in the Scripture of men who trusted in God against all odds. When Hezekiah was faced with Sennacherib's army, it was at the gate, and it had just mowed over so many other nations, and Sennacherib was able to say, what happened to all the rest of them? You think you're going to trust in your God to deliver you? Look behind you. See what's happened. Hezekiah, he took the matter to the Lord, and God gave him the promise, and there was deliverance. And when Gideon's 300 men stood against the Assyrian host, it was an impossibility. Who in their right mind could have thought such a thing could have occurred? But God used a small number to do a great work for Him. And the hardest heart that rejects the gospel is able, my friend, to be overturned by the affections of love of God and of His grace. It doesn't matter whether it's a wife that's unsaved, a son, a daughter, still needs to come to Christ. Do not give up, my friend. What about that situation of financial crisis that you find yourself in right now? You wonder if there's no hope out of it, no way out. Trust in God. Be obedient to His word, and you will see He comes through for you. See, trusting in the omnipotence of God will give you courage to live for Christ. And that's what Abram did. He did not stagger. He was strong in faith, and it allowed him to live his life to the glory of God. And we are told that because he believed in the Lord, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that means that faith, in God's promise is what the Lord looked upon him and blessed him. And so we are justified by the Lord's great grace to us as we have faith in Him. We have courage then to go forward and face all issues of the family complexes. Sometimes you think that it's an impossibility. It's getting worse, not better. The Lord is able, friend. And let us come back to that place where we trust in Him implicitly and pray that He will bring us into the right place where He can use us, that we will not doubt His Word, but rather be encouraged to be strong in His Word. We will stand in a day when there is much that's going against the Scriptures and His Word. We'll have courage to speak a word for Christ. When our faith is yet very weak, we'll be strong in Him. Job said this, "I know that Thou canst do anything, because nothing with the Lord is impossible, and in the Lord we are able to find our everything." Let us go forward therefore this year, taking this example of this man of God, another aspect to be ourselves by His grace, strong in faith, trusting, when all around us says, "No, there is no reason to trust," yet we will trust in Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Father, I pray today that for those in our service who are still unconverted, they will come to trust in the Savior and they will see who the Lord Jesus is, see their need, and call out unto Him in simple faith. Pray that each one of us who walk along this narrow way, we will understand what it means day by day, in every situation, every circumstance. We will not presume, we will not just think that we are able to go beyond by our own power or strength or energy. Lord, grant to us that deep, settled peace of knowing we trust in Thee. Strengthen us, Lord, where we are weak. Make us strong. Help us when we are emotionally weak. Help us when we are physically weak. Help us, O God, when we are mentally weak. We will cast our everything upon Thee. So hear our prayers now. Separate us, Lord, in Thy fear, and with Thy rich blessing. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.